So, we'll read in the Phillips translation. This is the official Young Life translation of the scripture. Some of us still love it here. It's John 14, shortly after Jesus has said he's going away, and they're pretty agitated. So there's a reason why he's saying this to them. They're wondering where he's going to go and is he going to come back? He said he was, but it's pretty unsettling. Plus, there's a horrible situation there politically with the Roman Empire, with a tight stranglehold on Israel. Things aren't good. They're really difficult. And so Jesus says in John 14:27, I leave behind you peace. I give you my own peace. And my peace and my gift is nothing like the peace of this world. You must not be distressed. You must not be daunted. You've heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. He revisits that. If you really love me, you'd be glad because I'm going to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And I've told you of it now, before it happens, so that when it happens, your faith in me will not be shaken. I shall not be able to talk much longer to you, for the spirit that rules this world is coming very close. And of course, the devil thought he won a great victory, didn't he, on the cross, and he didn't realize he lost. He has no hold over me, but I go on my way to show the world that I love the Father and do what he sent me to do. Get up now. Let us leave this place. Just thinking about that situation that they're in, and put yourself in the one you're in right now. What is it that causes you distress, that causes you anxiety? What is it? And let's lay that before the Lord right now. You know, as I start thinking about peace, I'm convinced that peace is a person. Okay? It's a person. It's not a, it, sure, it's a quality and so on, but it's a person. That there is one person in the universe that can calm the fears, the anxiety, the hatred, that well up within you and me, and that person is Jesus. Okay? He's the only one that can do it. And for us to begin to recognize that and realize, all right, why do we spend time with him every day? Why do we walk with him and talk with him and so on? Because peace is a person. And we realize when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Colossians tells us to do, you know, we put on a covering of peace. This divorce scenario continues, you know, for us. And I find myself daily, Jerry and I were talking about it this morning, daily expressing my love for my daughter-in-law. And I'll call her my daughter-in-law. I don't understand why it's happening, but I love her and I bless her and her family. Her dad's a pastor. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm regularly with four kids whose world's being torn apart. You know, somebody took a red piece of paper and a blue piece of paper and with some glue and said, marriage is when two people become one, two families come together. Divorce is when, and then they took them, and you know what happens. Pull it apart, and some of the blue is on the red, and some of the red is on the blue. Divorce is when they part. It ain't pretty. So I think, for me, you know, I'm in a school, a peace school, where I keep going back to Jesus. I keep reading articles of things that I've done that I didn't do, you know, and even though this Russian collusion is calming down, and some of you will find out, Netflix is doing a hit job on the fellowship, the prayer breakfast movement. The trailer came out last week. It's 5 hours, 5 one-hour segments. August 9th, you can get it on your Netflix, okay? And the name of it is The Family. It's not about It's not about faith. It's about power. In other words, everything we're doing around the world and everything the prayer breakfast is about power. It's not about faith. And I think to myself, going to Russia and Ukraine the last 54 years, I've never told any one of them what to do, how to vote, and so on. What I'm interested in is that they know Jesus, who's the only one who can change the human heart. A few months ago, I'm sitting in Moscow with a leading Russian parliament member who meets with Putin weekly. He's kind of the budget guy. And he asked me, he says, where are you going tomorrow? We've been friends for 20 years. I love him. He's kind of looking at Jesus. He's a Jewish fellow. He says, where are you going tomorrow? I said, I looked him in the eye and I said, Andre, I'm going to Kiev, Ukraine. His head went down, kind of like, you know, they hate those people. And I looked at him and I said, Andre, can I ask you a question? Does Jesus love the Ukrainians? He looks at me and he goes, that's not fair. Yeah, actually, it is fair, you know. Yes, he does, doesn't he? He loves every single one of them. And I wanted him to know, I'm not going to Ukraine for political reasons. I'm going because Jesus loves the Ukrainians, and I want to join him. Okay? I don't love them more than the Russians. I love all of them. This reminds me of my wife with our four kids and now our 16 grandkids, and they'll come up one by one and they'll go, Lolly, am I your favorite grandchild? And she'll look them in the eye and say, yes, you are. Don't tell anybody else. Of course they are. Every one of them individually is the favorite. And we're Jesus' favorite, aren't we? Every single one of us. Okay? There's a wonderful passage that I want to read again in the Phillips here, and it was read by Natalie, and I just love this passage. It's such a wonderful passage, and it's Ephesians 2, 13 to 18. I liked it so much, and when I was sending out Christmas letters a year or two ago, I used this passage, but listen to this, and it's talking about the division of Jew and Gentile, which was huge at that point. Very difficult. Still, a pretty big problem, isn't it? So, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off are brought near through the shedding of Christ's blood. For Christ is our living peace. Hang on to that. Hold it tight. He's our living peace. I think what that means is every hour of every day, he brings peace out of what could be conflict, anger, hatred. He brings forgiveness and reconciliation when it seems impossible. How many years have the Jews and the Palestinians been trying to bring peace? They can't do it. And there's only one way you can, the change of the human heart. And only one being in the universe can change the human heart, and that's the one who is our living peace. He's made us both one by breaking down the barrier and enmity which lay between us. I just love this. By his sacrifice, he removed the hostility of the law with all its commandments and rules and made in himself, out of the two, Jew and Gentile, one new man, thus producing peace. That's how he did it. It was costly, wasn't it? The blood of Christ. For he reconciled both to God by the sacrifice of one body on the cross, and by his act, he killed the enmity between them. Come on. Boy, would NBC News have a story if they really picked up on that. CBS, CNN, all of them. Okay? He killed the enmity between them. And he's the only one who can do it. Then he came and brought the good news of peace to you who were far from God and to us who were near. And it is through him and through him alone that both of us can now approach the Father in one spirit. Is that good news? That should be on the headlines of the New York Times today, wouldn't it? Our world would be different if people could just embrace and receive that. I love that passage. It encourages me and it tells me how he brings peace. He brings it through the blood of Christ. So I'm on that journey daily to forgive, to bless, not curse. How about you? What is it that's causing you anxiety, anger? Is there somebody in your life right now you need to forgive? Just forgive them. Or is there someone in your life you need to ask forgiveness of? Yeah, I know everything they say isn't necessarily true, but there's some wrong there. And Matthew 5 tells us, if you're offering your gift at the altar, that could be prayer or worship, ministry, and you remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. Don't pray. Don't worship. Don't go to church. Don't do your ministry. Go make peace with your brother or sister. Then come and offer your gift. So this is a real practical thing. And my prayer this morning is that I could put enough flesh and bones on it so each of us in our own life could think and pray, what is it, Lord, that's causing me anger, anxiety, hatred, unforgiveness, resentment, whatever it is, and attack that because of the blood of Christ, because Jesus is our living peace. One of the first verses I memorized as a fourth grader in church. It's kind of like what you guys do, okay? Isaiah 26:3 in the King James. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, him, because he trusts in thee. That's pretty practical, isn't it? Even with the these and the thous, you get the point, don't you? Okay? He'll keep us in perfect peace. How? If our mind and our heart is stayed, that's old language, but hangs around Jesus all the time. Walks with him. Talks with him. Loves with him. Okay? Is that practical enough? That we can go back into the corners and the crevices of our life where maybe there's a lack of peace and there's an anxiety and say, Lord Jesus, I surrender and I lay it down. I'm going to go ask forgiveness of that person who thinks I've done far worse than I think I've done. I'm going to go and lay it down. I'm going to ask their forgiveness. Please forgive me for my wrong. Or the opposite, you know, I'm going to forgive somebody that I really haven't forgiven, or that forgiving was pretty niggling. You know, it was kind of a, you know, on and off kind of forgiveness, you know, that kind. I've had plenty of it in my life. You know, just kind of sort of forgiveness. No, we want complete forgiveness. You know, the kind that loves and embraces, you know. And I'm talking to myself. I'm doing that with my daughter in love's family. You know, on a regular basis, I find I just need to do it. I'm doing it with these people that are writing these ridiculous things in the paper, you know, about me, you know, that I've never done. Done a lot of stupid things, but not those things, okay? And as we watch the Netflix, and there'll be a lot of stuff in there. And I can watch that and love and forgive those people who have an agenda they want to play out. Okay? And it's okay. It's okay. Because Jesus is our living peace. One more passage I want to read to you. This is another wonderful one. And it's Philippians 4. Verses 6 to 9. you go, I'm giving it to you because I hope you'll go home and think about it as well. Don't worry about anything whatever. Whenever you pray, tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer, and the peace of God, which surpasses human understanding. We're talking about something here. You can't understand it in the rational mind, okay? Which surpasses human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. It's exactly what we've been saying, isn't it? But that's what the peace of God will do in my life. So I just need to go home and look, what is it that's causing me these feelings of anger, hatred, unforgiveness, unwillingness to forgive, you know, whatever it might be, unwillingness to humble myself and go to somebody else. My brothers, I need only to add this. If you believe in goodness, if you value the approval of God, fix your minds on whatever is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and admirable. Put into practice what you've learned from me and what I've passed on to you, both what you've heard from me and what you've seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Don't we want the God of peace to be with us? Well, I'm not into formulas, but that's the closest one I can think of right here, okay? So go back and think about it. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 9. I was sitting in a meeting at the Cedars a few days ago, and we'd been talking about some tumultuous things, including this Netflix thing that's coming out, and there's plenty of other stuff. People, just newsflash, the Democrats don't like the Republicans. You know, there's a few problems in our country and around the world, and when we meet every Tuesday, a bunch of us, we're talking about the world, and it's in strife, and as we love on all these people, you know, we feel that, and we pray for it. And somebody shared a Henry Nouwen quote. I love Henry Nouwen. He's in heaven with Jesus now. But the name of it is Claim Your Peace. And I thought it was an appropriate way to close today. Claim your peace, because it's real practical and it gives us something to do. That's clear. Here he is. I really wish an ever deeper peace. I know that peace quite often lives underneath the turmoils and anxieties of our heart. Boy, is that ever true. And doesn't always mean inner harmony or emotional tranquility. I read that and I thought, duh. It's sure true, isn't it? Doesn't always mean that. We want to have it. We can theoretically talk about it, but we don't have it. Okay? That peace that God gives us quite often is beyond our thoughts and feelings. And we really have to trust that that peace is there for us to claim, even in the midst of our moments of despair. It was like that. I said to the person that did that, can I have that? She said, sure. She sent it to me and I copied it down and I thought, that's it. That's the clear, what do? We claim it by faith. We claim it. Even though, by the way, it's not there yet. You know, we're thinking about all these feelings and anger and everything else and worrying late at night, laying in bed, thrashing this over, and we don't have it. So, everybody, in the name of Jesus, claim it. And I believe if we keep doing that, I think he's going to show up and give it to us. But we got to claim it, because the devil You think he wants you to have peace? Are you kidding me? Peter tells us he stalks around like a roaring lion, seeking those that he might devour. And it tells us, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that this same experience of suffering is experienced by your brothers and sisters all over the world. It isn't unique to Des Moines, Washington, or the United States of America. It's going on everywhere. So the takeaway today is, let's claim it in the name of Jesus. And I want to do that right now. I want to just take a moment of silence for you and me to take some of those things that are causing us anxiety, anger, fear, unforgiveness, all those things we're talking about, and just lay them out there and ask Jesus to take them and claim the one who is our living peace, so that we can have our thoughts be on whatsoever is honorable and just and lovely and pure and all that wonderful list in Philippians 4:8. When my kids were growing up and they were fighting with each other, I'd say to them, Philippians 4:8, and they go, okay, Dad, you know, they knew it. I'd said it to them 1,000 times. Whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is pure, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay? So we probably won't necessarily experience the peace train that he's talking about, but we might experience the one, we will experience the one who is peace itself, our Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we're just taking a moment of silence to offer up those things which have interfered with the peace that we want to have in you. So, Lord, whether it's a broken relationship, whether it's unforgiveness on our part or someone else's that's caused anxiety, whether it's an unfair situation we're walking through, whether it's shortage of money, whether it's things that seem impossible to fix, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we lay these on the altar today. And the peace that passes understanding, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.